a statistic for you guys you're going to love. This is for married couples, by the way. Did you know, according to the Gottman Institute, these guys are the experts in marriage communication, that healthy married couples will respond to their spouse 9 out of 10 times when they're asked a question? So guys, if you're on number 8, I got one more to go. Seriously, we're going to talk about healthy marriage communication because you know what? This is the key to a successful, thriving, loving, intimate marriage. Meaningful communication about things that matter. And we're going to get into this in some depth today and tomorrow on the show. And we'd love to have you be a part of it. The phone line is open. Here's the question. What one thing do you do to be better at communicating in your marriage? One thing that you do to be better at communicating in your marriage. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Did you know that of all the research, the experts tell us the number one killer, predictor of problems in marriage is criticism? And so we want to unpack today how to be a better communicator. Also, coming up in just a moment, we got a report live from Florida on what's happening in the aftermath of the hurricane. So we can pray for our friends, family, and churches and ministries across the peninsula. And we'll get to that in a moment as well. But communication and marriage is the topic. The line's open. 888-888-1717.
Hello, this is Llewellyn, and I'm from Montgomery, Alabama. And it was about communication and communicating with your husband. And I think that sometimes women are very, very boring. And if they want their husband to communicate with them, you know, they shouldn't tell him things that are not interesting to him. He needs to know the things that are funny, something happy, or something that the children did, or the football pass that their son caught at football practice. Not just boring things. I don't believe in boring your husband to death. And that's what mothers are for. You may need to call their mother and tell them all of the little boring details of their life.
All right, Llewellyn, that's what moms are for. So, mom, you can be as boring as you want, but wives, not so much. Anyway, lines open. One thing you're doing to be good at communicating, building better communication in your marriage, give us a call, 888-888-1717. We've all been praying, at least we should be, for all of our friends and family and those that we don't even know across the peninsula of Florida. Boy, these men and women have been whacked with these hurricanes in the last month. And it seems like increasingly so. And we have three family members that are right in the eye of the storm last night. And one of them, Reverend Mike Banks, is my nephew. He and his wife, Kelly, who's my niece, he's a pastor there at the Daniels Road Baptist Church in Fort Myers, Florida. And I gave him a call this morning and said, hey, Mike, want to see what's going on? Do you have a minute in the busyness of what's going on? And he said, certainly. Mike, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate being able to talk to you. Tell us, how did you guys weather the storm last night?
Well, here in Fort Myers, we did okay. It was actually earlier in the day that was more problematic for us. The outer bands of the storm did produce quite a few tornadoes, yeah. And so we kind of went through some of that. Actually, our church property was hit and had some significant tree damage and a little bit of damage to the building, but that was from the earlier tornadoes. From the dirty side of the hurricane, the eastern and southern sides of the hurricanes are known as the dirty sides. That's what kicks up all the tornadoes. So we got through that, and then through the evening it wasn't so bad. Then the wind started kicking up probably 8-9 o'clock, and we really didn't do too badly through that. It was just kind of a long evening. We ended up losing power last night about 11:30. Went to bed, woke up, and the wind had died down, and it's actually a sunny day with blue skies out right
now.
Yeah,
it's amazing, isn't it?
We've had a lot of debris to pick up, a lot of work at the church to get things ready, and just spending most of the day just trying to connect with everyone from the church, make sure everyone's okay. Yeah. So far, so good. We do have a couple of families out on the barrier islands, and they're not yet able to get to their homes to check on the status there. There was some storm surge out on the coast, so we're a little nervous about what we're going to hear from them. But they were off the island. They're safe. We just don't know about their homes yet.
Well, I know, Mike, that as a pastor and of churches all across the peninsula, I'm sure there's an opportunity to have some special ministry. You got a lot of retirees. I know you guys are Michigan transplants, so we got a lot of winter visitors that come, probably have some vacant homes, and you got some older people, seniors in the community. How does your community and your church and others in the community reach out? What's going on with the community outreach in support of each other?
Well, in past hurricanes, Irma several years ago, and of course Ian just 2 years ago, we got hit much harder with Ian. We took a direct hit with that one, and so yeah, we had lots of opportunities to do just distributions. We had Walmart gave us a truckload of bottled water we could hand out. Caravan of Hope gave us a whole truckload of supplies we could open our doors and do distributions. I would say that probably with this storm, the need here in the Fort Myers area is not going to be as great for something like that, but to the north of us where they took a direct hit, there's going to be a lot more need. The storm surge up north was really pretty bad in Sarasota, Manatee, and Hillsborough counties, and then in areas where the tornadoes were really bad, and that kind of goes really across the peninsula. This thing stayed. It hit as a Category 3. It was still a Category 1 this morning as it was exiting the peninsula on the Atlantic side. So, there's going to be some damage. But we, this time we missed out on the direct hit. Yeah. So we're probably going to be focused more on our neighbors to the north. An hour north of us probably is where the greatest need is going to be.
Well, Donna's, my wife Donna's brother and wife live in Sarasota, and we haven't heard from them, what's going on at this point. So I know they took a direct hit. And then another nephew, your cousin up in Tampa, who is a police officer in St. Petersburg, I'm sure, and he hasn't even got back to see what's left of his house, but he's out serving the community today. So there's a lot going on. Tell us, for those who see little glimpses of this on TV, what is it like? You've been through several of these. What is it like to sit hour after hour knowing that a hurricane's coming right through your neighborhood?
It's pretty unsettling. I would say probably the worst part of this hurricane yesterday was living with the memory of 2 years ago when Ian came, because Ian was hour after hour of just sitting in the house, hearing the wind, rip our roof apart and not being able to go out and do anything about it. And it was the hardest part. Ian's the worst hurricane I've ever been through. Hopefully I'll never be through another one like it. But it was that anxiety of, what if this thing turns and does come right for us? And a lot of the time that it was out in the Gulf of Mexico, it was a Category 5. It was a beast. And, that's pretty scary when you hear that. Mm-hmm. Really what you do is you try to prepare. You live with the fact that hurricane season runs from June through November here in Florida. And you keep some water on hand and your batteries and some canned foods and we try to be as prepared as you can be. Where we live, our house is not in a flood zone. We're not in an evacuation zone, so we typically don't have to worry about floodwaters or storm surge where we live. But we have a lot of people from the church that do live in those areas, and so there's anxiety for them as well. And honestly, for the day or two before every hurricane, I think I'm spending most of my time on my phone making sure that people have a place to stay if they need to evacuate. In fact, just yesterday morning, Kelly and I went out and picked up an elderly couple from our church from their home and got them to a hotel. And turns out we were driving through the middle of a tornado warning. We didn't know that at the time, but it was apparently it was the tornado that struck our church property. So,
wow,
there you go.
Well, we know there's been deaths across the peninsula, and a lot of it because of the tornado. Tornadoes, 120 some, amazing.
Yep.
So what's your message on Sunday? Do you change the message? What's going on in the churches Sunday, do you think? for those that are still open.
Okay, so you're going to make me confess in front of everyone here now. I honestly, typically, I have my message complete by usually Tuesday evening, and then I'm just working on some polishing up the rest of the week. I haven't even really begun sermon preparation this week. I was just so focused with hurricane preparation. But I'm thinking what I'm going to do. I'm still waiting to hear from those families out on the barrier islands, but I had a Thanksgiving series for November, a three-part series. I may steal one of those messages from November and bring that this Sunday and push my fall series in 1 John back a week. That's kind of what I'm thinking about doing right now, but I'm still not sure. But usually after these storms and typically through the two previous storms we've been through, Irma and Ian, we have not had power at our church on Sunday, the Sunday following. So we've done an outdoor service. And I would guess that we might be doing that again this Sunday. And it's been a pretty special time for our church.
I imagine.
To be able to just gather together and see everyone and love everyone again. And so I'm guessing we'll do that and probably just take some time to give thanks because God really blessed us and brought us through this storm. And then we'll take some time to pray for our neighbors up north.
Amen. Well, I understand this is Pastor Appreciation Month. So, Mike, we love you guys. You and Kelly, appreciate what you're doing, all the pastors, all the ministry leaders, all the associate pastors and youth pastors all around the country that are listening. We love you guys. And all of those of you that are in been harm's way in serving us in police and fire and all the different services. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's true, especially in Florida right now. But it's true all around the nation at one point or another with the crises we seem to be facing.
And don't forget the linesmen out there getting our power back.
Oh, that's
on.
Right.
Yeah, they're putting themselves in harm's way as well.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate them.
We hopefully get it up today. All right. Thank you, Mike. Give Kelly a hug, and we've been praying for you guys.
We'll do that. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
If you just joined us, that's my nephew, Mike Banks. He and his wife, Kelly, formerly Carlson, my niece, he's a pastor at the Daniels Road Baptist Church in Fort Myers. As I mentioned, then I have another nephew up in St. Petersburg, who's in law enforcement and working hard today. And so we pray for these folks. You know, we look at times like this and we all have something going on. It could be a natural disaster. We live in Arizona. We don't have hurricanes in Arizona, but you know what? We get fires. We get heat. I mean, we've had a lot of heat. There's always something that can go on in some part of the country. And I always look at this and it reminds me, as man tries to predict and control these things, how awesome God is in his creation and the world in which we live. And if nothing else, we need to be humbled to realize that we're not in control as much as what we think we are, and that we come to terms with, hey, life is short. We're talking about marriage communication today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're married, let's be humble enough to know we're not perfect at this, but we can get better at it. And we can save marriages because we get better at communicating. We're going to talk about that coming up in a moment. You can join us. One thing you're doing, lots of stories at 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health. or peace, or success, or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you for doing that. When you join in with the Intentional Living Ministry, you are making a difference in people's lives. People coming to Christ, marriages being saved, homes making decisions that are radically transforming the lives of the next generation. And you're helping make part of that possible. When you join us here at Intentional Living, your monthly support goes a long way, and you get access to all that great teaching for you. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. This is really a sad statistic from the Gottman Institute. It doesn't surprise me, but it's really unfortunate. Did you know that the average couple in America waits 6 years? 6 years of problem in their marriage before they do anything about it. You think about a cancer cell, what can happen in 6 years, right? And in many ways, that's what happens. A little cell gets into a marriage relationship. It doesn't get resolved and grows and grows and grows. And then it's painful. And every counselor out there, every pastor, every counselor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. People come in with 6 years of growth, of pain, and you're supposed to fix them in 50 minutes. And then they call later and say, well, we tried counseling. This is a decision. You can make a decision today to say, you know, one thing I could do in the next 30 days is follow the advice of saying, I'm going to actually listen to my spouse and not prejudge, not make an early decision. Just listen. That alone can make a huge difference in your relationship. All right, Jessica, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What do you do to communicate better or good in your marriage?
Well, I love the fact that you did mention the criticizing thing, because that was brought to my attention not that long ago. So I have been working on that towards my husband for about 3 months now. I realized that I actually was being critical, and I didn't realize it at the time. But
and he brought it up to you?
No, it wasn't him. I'm in a recovery group. Uh-huh. I'm in recovery, and we meet. It's like CR, Celebrate Recovery, right. And we talk about that. You know how if you see it in someone else, it's usually in you. And you know the things that I was getting frustrated over, I was doing back to him. You know, and it was like somebody had to stop. But the thing that I called in to mention was another way I'm trying to be intentional is by putting my cell phone down when we're speaking to each other, you know, because a lot of times people get off of work and they're tired and they need a little them time. But then I noticed that we were carrying that into the rest of our evening and we weren't communicating at all, you know. It's like you half hear everything that the other person says, and you hear kind of important things, and then so you just respond to what you think. But then it comes off as you're not listening, you know, and you really aren't. So that's the one thing that I'm doing currently.
And has it made a difference so far?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I know. And once again, it was me that first got irritated towards my husband. And then I realized I was doing it too.
Yeah.
And so,
Yeah, those of us in the counseling psychology business, we call that projection. We project onto someone else what is our own problem, right? And what you're saying is, hey, listen to what Jessica said. I realized I was being critical, so I kind of knocked that off. And then I realized I was talking to my husband over the top of my cell phone, and I knocked that off. And I asked the question, what made a huge difference? You know, when we think about communicating and connecting with a person, this is not you don't have to go to some big institute to learn to do this. Put the phone down, look into the eyes of your spouse, and listen. The Bible says be a swift listener, which is interesting. It doesn't say just be a listener, but a swift one. What did you say, honey? My wife and I joke because her voice, I think, is kind of soft and precious and beautiful, and my ears are getting older. And she'll say something to me from the kitchen, and I'm sitting over in the family room, not too far away. But sometimes she'll just try to say it when she's got her head down in the drawer getting something out. You ever have that situation? And I'm saying, excuse me, could you repeat that? Oh, Donna, if you're listening, what did she say to me yesterday? She said, oh, have you, very kindly, very lovingly, have you thought about maybe having your hearing checked? Yeah, all right. Did you know healthy couples, according to research, there's a 5-to-1 ratio of compliments to negative comments? 5 times you have to say something positive to offset that one critical comment, according to research. Kind of interesting. One thing you're doing to be a better communicator. What is that one thing that works? 888-888-1717. Barbara in Michigan. Hey, Barbara, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your one thing?
So my one thing is, it might sound a little silly, but we've been married 27 years. We have 6 children, ages 5 to 25. And so our time together is very limited, and it started taking a toll. All the after-school activities, both of us working full-time. So a while back, we decided to be very intentional and give each other 5 minutes in the morning and at night. We're the first ones to talk to each other in the morning and when we go to bed. And even if there are the older kids are around, they know this is mom and dad's time and they're talking and they need to see each other. It's important. So that has really helped tremendously. And sometimes it's more than 5 minutes, but at the very minimum, it's 5 minutes. And I can't believe how silly that sounds, but what a huge difference it made in our marriage.
So what do you jam into 5 minutes? What kinds of topics do you get to?
We kind of everything, sometimes about work, about, you know, maybe the kids, when we're going to have some time together, what would you like to do? Where, you know, maybe this weekend, can we plan a date night? You know, things like that. But really, sometimes it's just about gratitude and maybe how we felt during the day about something. We're really showing a lot more gratitude and trying to teach that to our kids because it just makes you feel better about life and yourself and everything we have.
So even 5 minutes a day, intentionally focused on communicating, can make a difference in a marriage.
Yes, and just listening to each other with, like, no, like the last caller was saying, no cell phones, no nothing, just talking.
Yes, absolutely.
So
that's important stuff. Where in Michigan are you today, Barbara?
I am in Southeast, kind of between Detroit and Flint.
Oh,
and it's okay. It's really beautiful here today, and so I have a lot. I'm very grateful that we are, you know, having good weather, and our hearts are with the people in Florida right now for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for calling, Barbara, and be safe on your travels. Probably listening to the new 93.1 this last year from Metro Detroit Family Life Radio. That's really good stuff. Did you know that Emma Thompson made the statement that any problem, big or small, within a family always seems to start with bad communication? Someone isn't listening, she says. And I think that's true. That's true. Yogi Berra. By the way, Yogi Berra, you ever notice how Yogi Berra gets credited for a lot of things that he apparently said? I don't know. But Yogi Berra apparently said it was impossible to get a conversation going because everybody was talking too much. And that can happen too in our relationship. But seriously, here's what the Bible says to us in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. How we communicate makes a difference. Number 6 in this list of intentionals is take responsibility. It's the first law of intentional living, personal responsibility. Asking and answering the question, how have I contributed to the pain in my life, is an important act.
The act of taking personal responsibility is what separates winners from losers in life. Losers blame situations and people and the world and the government and what have you. Winners accept reality as it is, and then they do something about it. One of the most effective ways of growing beyond pain is to take responsibility for any part, even if it's only a tiny part of the problem. See, until you own it, you can't grow beyond it.
Boy, that's true. That's an excerpt from The Problem. No, not The Problem, but The Purpose of Pain. We all know the problem, but there's a purpose behind it. It's a featured lesson at the site for our members at our Intentional Living Ministry online. And for those of you who are members, I hope you're enjoying the teaching, passing along. Feel free to use it, leverage it, apply it, share it with others, because we want to get it into people's hands. And for those of you who are joining us today to become a part of the Intentional Living support team monthly, we'll make sure you get access to all the teaching as well, plus making a difference in people's lives and allowing us to do this radio program and podcast and so on. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on donate, or call during West Coast hours, 888-888-1717, and we appreciate your support.
I think that what could lead to a very successful marriage is having a sense of humor, especially with your husband, who may just be joking around or trying to be funny, and maybe you're a little uptight, but just indulge him. Let him think he's funny. Don't take life so seriously. Also, another thing I think is really, really important, something that I do, try to do every single day, is find something to praise your spouse, because you will eventually find that you're not the only one doing the praising. It's reciprocal. Many times it is. So I would say praise and have a sense of humor.
Hey, boy, that's good. Even if it isn't funny, you laugh, right? All right, a couple things closing up the show today on tips for improving communication. Listen, practice active listening. What that means is you're engaged with what you're hearing. Eye to eye makes a difference. Ear to ear, you're listening to what's being said, is important. When you respond, don't take a position too soon. Ask more questions. Draw him or her out. Really kind of understand deeply not only what they're saying, but what they really mean behind those words. Now, pay attention to those nonverbal communication. I mean, how are they presenting this? That's important. A little empathy helps along the way. And sometimes you even have to set some boundaries if it's not appropriate, right? Okay, I'll tell you what, we just scratched the surface on all this. We're going to do it again tomorrow, but your calls are welcome now because we're going to record them for tomorrow. So give us a call. One thing for communication, 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy. Have a great day.